This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
My name is Joella Gammon. I work out of the Candy Factory. I am founder of a company called Gnomesy, and we provide digital plant support to small businesses who would like employee-driven green space.
You know, at first I heard you say digital plants.
Well, digital plants are kind of cool, but I think it's already been done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So. GIFs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fair.
No, we give you a gnome coach and some text. But I live in town here in Lancaster with my cats and my husband, and we really enjoy it.
In any order of preference?
I'm going to plead the fifth. Okay. Depends on the day.
It's great to have you on the program.
Thanks.
Welcome to 5x5. Diggs, it's nice to see you again.
You too.
My pleasure, always.
Yep.
If you're just joining us, we are going to be presented with five random topics by our iPad. His name is Frank. And Frank is going to give us our first topic. Frank in 5 minutes is going to play a little bit of music. And when he does, we're going to move on to the next topic.
Indeed.
Everybody ready?
Sounds fun.
Feeling good?
Yep.
Here we go. First topic for the 12th episode of 5x5 is college football. College football.
Man.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's a little unseasonal.
See, I used to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I did a whole study on the head injuries. And then I kind of stopped watching it at all. And
wait, is this football in general or just college football?
Football in general, but college football by association.
Was college your thing, like as far as football goes?
No, I went to Millersville for my undergrad and they don't.
So why were you?
Well, I find that for water cooler gossip, it's great to have read the headlines. So if you can go in and say one really cool thing and
some
everybody
highlight.
Else starts talking,
mm-hmm.
then you can just kind of drop the mic and walk out.
That's
so, okay, so if I'm honest, I didn't really watch football so much as I read the headlines so I could be that annoying person in the morning.
You watch SportsCenter. Caught the headlight or the headlights.
Worse than that.
Got the highlights.
Stood in the headlights and just saw what bounced off my head in the morning news cycle.
Did you have a team?
Not for college football. Now I've got to say Penn State because
sure.
That's where I went to grad school.
Oh, okay. You from here?
I am.
Okay.
I grew up in Mannheim, so
there you
30
go.
Minutes away.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Diggs, college football?
I went D3 so for my undergrad. So I did work on the sidelines for the football team, though. I was a equipment manager, so I can fix helmets and pads.
Hey,
how did you get into
being?
How did
tell us more.
It was a student worker job. It started just in the just as a regular student worker. It was just I think I had the Friday night
But I was a student
shift.
Worker and I had to heat the pasta that came out of the garbage cans for the line. Huh?
Wait a second.
Wait
let's roll back a little
Hold
bit.
On.
We're talking about football.
That's correct.
Yeah. So they used to the school I went to for my freshman year, they have food grade somehow disinfected bins that looked like garbage cans where they kept the cooked pasta and then you ran hot water over it to heat it up before putting it on the buffet line.
For the football team.
No, this had nothing to do with football. I was just saying his student job was way cooler than mine.
Got it. Okay.
Sorry.
Diggs went where
circular.
I went.
Circular.
I was
circular. Go on.
What
no.
football team has
no,
that
No, they had
luxury.
A soccer team. No.
Okay. That, now I get
you
it.
Come off the field for a timeout.
Right.
Have a
pasta. Get your pasta here. First year, my job was just in the equipment, literally in the equipment room. It was the Friday night laundry shift. I don't think anybody else wanted it. But I guess I can admit this. After I got used to the routine, I then kind of turned it into a bit of a pregame session built into work.
Well played.
Yes. And then I realized, I can bring my friends down. They can also pregame, but then we can get out of here faster if I show them how to do half of my job.
Your work.
No, but we all did it together. It wasn't because I still had to be there to make sure that things.
Yeah, sure.
Like the whites were whites and whatever. And I oversaw the whole process. But I was like, we can all just hang out in the basement at my job, and like there was a TV down there, so we could like watch whatever we want and just bring a beverage of your choice with you. And I think, I wish I had numbers on this, but I'm pretty sure we got out like I was done with my shift like a full like half hour earlier than I would have been.
All right, so let me get this straight.
I'm
hold on a second. Yeah. So you're telling me that for your student job,
yes,
you hired a volunteer staff, threw a kegger in the basement, got the work done, sat back as the kingpin, got the work done.
I still helped get the work done.
And then bailed early.
And then
we call that management.
No, everything got done earlier.
Oh, then you could kick back then with the kegger too.
Then we could get out and like go to the actual party.
I got you.
That was it actually started because they were like, why are you always late to the pregame and then everything else? Because, well, I've got my Friday night shift. And they're like, I think one just volunteered to come help me. And then I thought about it. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. We could just do the pregame while we're all down there. Like, so I think at most had like 3 or 4 friends that would come and help me.
But still an impressive leadership skill.
Oh, thank you. I guess that's why I then got promoted to supervisor. Yeah. And the supervisors are who then go on the field with football.
Got it.
And then you rotate. There was usually 2 of us, so you would rotate on like away games versus home games and stuff like that. But yeah, I'd be on this. Obviously, there was no pregaming on the sidelines. It was a very early wake up usually for football because games are at 1.
Yeah,
got to be in the office by 8:30, 9 o'clock to do last minute sizings and helmet stuff. And there's always the idiot that didn't want like the proper amount of air in his helmet. Ugh. So, yeah, it was always.
I gotta say, I'm really fascinated to learn this about you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know all this stuff about football equipment.
I have so many more questions, but I'm also curious about you, yeah. Jason.
Not a big fan of college football. I mean, sometimes around the holidays when the bowl games are going on, I'll catch a game just to see. Right. I used to.
Too many bowl games.
Yeah. It's just I never really got into it. The playoffs try. They're trying. I would just sit here and complain if we had more time, but we don't because it's time for topic number 2 of this episode's 5x5, which is fast food.
Mm.
Fast food. Where are you on fast food digs?
I'm not anti. What was it? Pro,
pro.
Con?
You're not pro.
Con.
You're not pro.
There's just so much good food around here. Like I feel like I don't.
All right. Let me ask you this way: Is there a fast food that you go to? Like, is there a fast food that you like? You know, it falls under the category, and maybe you don't eat fast food sort of generally, but there's this one place you'll hit.
Wendy's.
Is that right?
Wendy's and Popeyes.
I'm learning so much.
What's your favorite at Wendy's?
Oh, the chicken Asiago, whatever that sandwich is called.
Sounds fancy.
It does. It actually sounds pretty highbrow.
It's actually really good. It's like one of the rare times where I will like let the cheese stay on a sandwich. I'm usually very anti melted cheese on sandwiches. Even that's not true.
This feels like another topic.
I don't even like cheese on like cold cut sandwiches. So I don't know. I don't like it. But that cheese on that sandwich, it just works. So
sometimes cheese on a sandwich just works.
Sometimes
it should be a bumper sticker.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Joella.
Well, growing up, we were allowed to go to McDonald's maybe once a year.
Damn.
So I am the only remaining adult I know that actually really loves McDonald's. Like, I like the nuggets and the fries.
Is it because you, of
and
the,
I feel like I shouldn't even admit that out loud.
No, you can say it. This is a safe
space.
It's
not even real. Sure, it is. And if it's not hot out of the fryer, it's not good.
Mm.
And objectively, it's not good. Mm-mm. But for some reason, it's just like kryptonite.
So is it because you were, deprived as a child, do you think?
I think
that onto it?
As a child, I grew up in Lancaster County, so my grandfather had a farm. So, homemade whole grain bread, roast beef or, ribeye steaks.
Unless his name is McDonald, you're not going to McDonald's.
Right. So all this amazing food that everybody else wishes they had. And as a kid, you're going, I just want the Wonder Bread and chicken nuggets.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a comfort food, but I avoid it for the most part.
Like most things in my life, fast food was an early thing. Like teenager. Well, I grew up in a really, really small coal town up in the mountains of Western Pennsylvania. So we didn't have fast food in my town. But when you got to like the 16, 17, you were driving to Johnstown, which would be like the big city for us, about a 45-minute drive. You know, you go hit McDonald's, you hit Burger King. There was a Burger King in Evansburg, which is about 25 minutes from where I lived, and that was a big deal. Like, and I remember as a kid, we would go to Johnstown a lot because my parents were there, and you'd drive through Evansburg. And I remember as a kid, like, my brother and I in the back seat would just start, like, whispering Burger King. Like, Burger King. Could see if the old man would stop, you know, and get us some Burger King. But he most of the time didn't. And every once in a while, he'd throw us a little bone, and we'd stop. But, you know, I just ate the shit out of it when I was a kid. And especially in my 20s. You know, poor, out of college, working kind of crappy jobs. And I was like, you know, I'd hit the Taco Bells. That was a big lunch spot, bean burrito, 79 cents. You know, that was, my buddy and I used to go get Whoppers, and we would, you could ask for extra, like you could ask for double everything. And if you hit the right Burger King, I was in Nashville at the time, they, you know, they didn't care. It's not their money, you know what I mean? So you'd be like, give me a Whopper, double everything. And they would load up the, you know, the lettuce and tomatoes and all that stuff. And wouldn't charge any more for it.
Nice.
Huh. Yeah, it was sweet. Of course, I weighed 80 pounds more than I do today, and there's a direct correlation between those two things. But
that's fair.
But about 20 years ago, I just, you know, I just gave it up. Like, I just realized I was just ballooning, and I was just a miserable mess. And I stopped eating fast food and soda.
So those two things. No fast food at all?
No. You know, every once in a while, my kids will drag me to, like, Chick-fil-A or something, and I'll do that. Yeah. Subway, I'll get it, like those kind of fast food places, which are not quite so fast food.
Do you feel sick? Because I actually do get migraine. I love it, but I'll get a migraine if I have fast food too many days.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm talking like maybe once a month, I might eat something that would be considered fast food. So it's not, it's not a consistent enough thing.
Oh, that's a question, because like I do tend to order from Chipotle and Noodles and Co. a lot, but I don't. I guess I don't put those in the fast food category.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, does it count?
I don't.
See, what happened was is that they started, and I don't know who they are, but they started this sort of hybrid thing, right? And I feel like maybe Subway was the beginning of that, where it was sort of like a deli.
Yeah.
Like you would go to a deli, and it was still, but it's still fast food.
Right. Oh, I have an idea who they are, but I don't think we have time for that.
Is this a conspiracy? Yeah. Is it like the Illuminati? I don't know what the hell's going on here. But
Mintel.
What's Mintel?
Food Market Research Database.
Oh.
And fast food was going down.
And so they had to
figure it out. And everybody wanted fresh stuff. So hence Panera.
Joelle is coming on to our special conspiracy episode of 5x5. Coming soon.
I can
soon.
Create conspiracies.
Topic anytime. Number three. This is no conspiracy. It's time for the next topic. This wine.
I have opinions.
Are you pro? You. Are you pro wine?
I'm pro wine. I'm pretty sure I don't have 70% of the taste buds that an actual sommelier has.
Wait, what's that word you just said?
Sommelier.
What's it mean?
It means somebody who actually goes to school and has passed tests to know what they're tasting in wine.
Oh, okay. So that's a wine specific.
It's a wine specific
certified taster.
Yes.
And then there's the beer version, which is a Cicerone.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes.
Cicerone?
Cicerone.
Why don't they just call them beer tasters and wine tasters? Certified taster.
That's not fancy.
A CBT.
Would you listen to a certified beer taster, or would you listen to a Cicero?
I say Cicero sounds like a character in the Shakespeare or something. I would rather listen
or like
to
a spy.
Yeah, I'd rather listen to a CWT.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Certified wine taster.
But
anyway, fair enough. Sorry.
Back to your sommelier.
So I will say I do enjoy a nice bottle of wine, but I have been known. I won't turn my nose up at a box.
Sure.
Occasionally.
I like how you went from, you almost said glass and you said bottle instead. That was great. I enjoy a nice bottle of wine.
Bottle. Glass.
Hey, I've seen you at happy hour. That's yeah. I can poke fun.
Do you have the glass that's a full bottle?
No. Okay. No, I have slowed down a lot over the years. I was the one kid that somehow didn't drink in college. Really at all.
Wow.
So I started testing late 20s, early 30s, which is not a great time to experiment with alcohol.
Why?
I don't know. Something about like bouncing back.
Oh, yes. That makes sense.
Things like that. Wine consumption went up for a little bit. And now outside of happy hours.
Sure.
That's fair.
Maybe a glass at night, depending what I'm eating.
Fair.
It's food driven for me.
That's fair.
Diggs, you're a beer guy, right?
I am a beer guy. I don't dislike mine. I just, if I'm buying it, I tend to buy like boxes because it's usually that people are coming over, or I'm going somewhere where I know that they prefer wine and like really prefer wine, and like one bottle won't cut it. So not opposed, but yeah, I'm more of a beer cocktail. Beer, comma, cocktail fan.
Beer cocktail?
There are beer cocktails.
I'm sure there are.
And one of them's even good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had one good one. most are like weird. Terrible. And just like, what was the point of wasting the beer on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, but wine's fine.
Red or white?
It depends. I'm usually red unless I'm flying. Then I prefer white.
That's a tease into that a lot.
Because the tannins in reds dry you out, and dry you out faster than like whatever the agent in white wine would be. That's equivalent to. I don't know if there's an equivalent of tannins in white wine.
So white wine has a lot of sugar. So some people react to the sugar in white wine.
Okay.
I do know that. I am one of the people that actually does not drink when I fly.
Okay.
Oh.
Because I do not. Okay. I was at a food show. There was an incident where I probably was not fully drunk, but I was not fully sober. So let's say buzzed.
Okay.
I did not enjoy that experience at all. Also, even though I will have a glass from an occasional box, I like to enjoy the taste.
Mm.
And I have not yet found an airline wine that I like.
Got it.
Well, you're also not going to, being at altitude, like,
you don't enjoy it.
No. And it's usually, I only really ever do it if it's a flight where there's a meal.
Yeah.
So now if there isn't
like international.
No, even cross country. Like going east to west, sometimes you can
which like airline?
Do they still give you meals on planes?
No. You purchase, like if it's, oh, like if it's a 6-hour flight, I'm buying food.
I got you.
Like I'd rather buy like it's just because airport like prices are ridiculous for food. So I'd rather get the little box,
a bento box or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I'll deal with it. That's fine.
And you'll get some wine.
Yeah, if it's appropriate for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a red or wine preference, Joella?
It depends on the season for me and what I'm eating.
Okay. So, yeah. So the pairing that stuff works.
The winter, I'll do more Cabernets or some of the darker reds.
Mm-hmm.
Summer or anytime with spicy food, I'll tend towards the whites or dry rosés.
Where do you go around town for like wine selection? Like in restaurant wine selection?
Barbare is my favorite. But Bed Tap House actually has a surprisingly okay selection.
That's interesting.
Wow. Yeah,
unfortunately, beer started giving me heartburn. So I love beer, but I'm out after one. So yeah, they have a couple. They keep it simple. They have just a couple of bottles, but it's okay.
That's fair. We should explain for folks that don't live in the area. Yeah. So Federal Tap House has 100 taps of beer. So hence Jason and I's reaction.
Yeah, it's a beer place. That's what I would think of.
Yeah. And I love the bartenders there, but I'm not getting a cocktail there. No.
It's a beer place.
Yeah.
It's time to move on. And that means topic number 4 for this episode's 5x5 is mushrooms.
Ugh.
Mushrooms. Oh. No?
Can't. No, I am so...
No, wait a minute.
So what is it? Is it the texture, the flavor?
Texture.
No, wait. Let's take a step back.
Okay.
Cooked, raw, both.
All of it.
Well, the texture is completely different.
I don't care.
So is it the idea that
psychedelic?
It's a fungus?
No. It's the texture freaks me out most. I also don't like the flavor. So there are certain like pre-made things I will buy where like the mushrooms are cut up so small that it's just not worth the effort of like de-mushrooming it. So I'll deal with it. But then I'm taking like a bigger bite of the things I do like, if that makes sense. Like if it's like a...
Yeah, you're working around it.
Yeah. But no, I'll... No, thank you.
Totally.
Nothing.
Nope.
Psychedelic mushrooms?
I have not ventured down that path. Okay. That path kind of scares me. I'm not sure I would ever do that.
We'll just leave that hanging out there for a second. Right. Joella, mushrooms?
I'm probably the only person I know that's kind of agnostic. I don't get super excited, and I would never order a portobello mushroom burger or something like that, but I do like them on pizza.
Yeah.
And in the occasional salad.
I don't know. I think I would probably go to your agnostic mushroom meetup.
Yeah.
I think I would probably be there for that.
Starting next week.
I don't really have a, like, I don't get pumped about them. You know, like I'm not like some, you know what I mean? Like some people get, or like I get about eggplant. I get really excited eggplant. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I hate that when I'm out.
So like if I go to a restaurant and they have an eggplant something, I'll try it. You know, I'm like, oh, cool. Eggplant. But with mushrooms, it's more like I like mushrooms in a lot of different ways. And I like mushrooms, you know, I like mushroom stuff, like cream of mushroom soup or the mushroom burger thing where it's the big portabella or, you know, mushrooms on a, you know, on a, like those big ass mushrooms they sometimes put on meat or whatever, you know, like you'll have mushrooms and onions and peppers and that sort of thing, kind of a mix grilled, that sort of thing. So I, you know, I enjoy it. Like it's certainly a food that's in my yak category. And there, I've never had a mushroom I didn't like. But yet at the end of the day, I'm not jumping up and down going, I need to get my mushrooms today. Right. You know, like, where's my mushrooms?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Now, there is one way I did discover that is my husband hates mushrooms for the most part.
Good man.
Yeah. He's
Do right most there people with hate mushrooms?
I don't. I feel like I know a lot of people who hate mushrooms, but then I know a lot of people who can't get it, who actively seek out mushrooms.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think. Jason, you and I might be in a.
That's why, yeah. That's why that's kind of
narrow
a thing with
category.
You.
Yeah, I think but, I think I'm the odd one out. I mean, I besides literally.
Oh, you think most people like mushrooms?
I have a hunch.
I have discovered mushroom broth recently because I like ramen noodles and things like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, that provides kind of the earthy tone in some of the flavorings. And does not taste how you would think mushrooms taste.
Oh, so
yeah.
I might be interested.
That could be your gateway into the wonderful.
No, I don't think it tastes different enough. I don't think it's a gateway. It's just more like suddenly you can make really good udon noodle soup at home.
Right. I just meant like breaking down the barriers.
Maybe.
The mental barrier of the fact that a mushroom is such a dreadful thing to my friend Dick. Now, I will say that to look at mushrooms from a different perspective, nasty smell. Like, did you ever drive through Avondale, Pennsylvania, which is down toward Delaware? That's where all the mushroom farms are. And you can, you like hit it. It's like a wall. It's sort of like the manure around here. You know, like at certain times of the year, you're driving out on one of those Lancaster County roads and you turn the corner and all of a sudden you're just hit with this wall of manure.
Yep. It's too late to hit the resert.
Yeah.
So mushroom farming is like that. It's just there's this odor to it. And if you Avondale, which is down 41, going toward Wilmington, Delaware,
okay,
it's like it's on that path. It's a little town, and it's like mushroom farm after mushroom farm, and I guess they're underground.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'm unclear on how they're raised, but I do know that aren't we the biggest supplier in Pennsylvania of mushrooms globally, we're in the top?
Oh, Pennsylvania being the
we. Pennsylvania being the we.
Yeah, no, it is.
We this export
is mushroom,
a lot.
Yeah, this is mushroom capital. In fact, I watched a Mr. Rogers one time.
Oh.
And not as a child. I don't know why.
Of your children?
Maybe my kids were watching it. I don't know. But it was because Indiana, Pennsylvania is out near where I grew up. And he, Mr. Rogers he's a Pittsburgh guy. And ended up going to Indiana to visit a mushroom farm.
Oh. New thing to play on.
And he went down into the mushroom farm and was interviewing the mushroom people who live under, they were underground in these caves.
I feel like I'm not picturing what they actually looked like.
You got to look at it. I have to see if I can find a YouTube clip of this. Okay. Mr. Rogers and the Mushroom Farm.
I think they're on, isn't it on Prime? Isn't the whole thing on Prime?
Oh, the movie? His shows. Maybe so. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. We'll have to link up to that if we can find it.
This is true.
Topic number five. This episode's 5x5 is MTV. MTV.
So I'm at a distinct disadvantage. I did not have cable growing up.
You lived in New York City.
Yeah, but it was still like it was probably a money thing. There was access to cable, but it was. I think at the time it was like you could either do Cablevision or satellite or something like that, and then we just never really watched much TV other than PBS anyway. So
got it.
Never was on our radar. I knew of MTV, like, you know, going to doctors' offices or friends' houses or
it was just a thing that was around.
It was a thing, yeah. So I have no real allegiance or thoughts on it, so I just figured I would have my 10 seconds or 30 seconds of saying that and then hand it off to you guys. What do you think?
That's all you got,
yeah.
MTV.
Yeah, seriously, honestly, yeah. I mean, I know it's, was it music television? That's another thing I can...
Yes.
Well done,
music,
my friend.
Music television video. That's all I know because...
Oh, the V is... that makes sense.
Was homeschooled in a pretty religious family. We didn't have a TV till I was 10 or 12, and definitely no cable.
Mm.
And I think Mr. Rogers may have been the only thing that was allowed to watch, that we were allowed to watch.
Wow.
So MTV was something I saw flashes of at friends' houses.
Sort of like Big Macs.
Yeah, like Big Macs and Saturday Night Live.
Right.
So, yeah, I know about as much as Diggs.
Wow.
About MTV.
You gotta save
Who
us.
Who knew?
Okay, students.
Tell us about MTV. We know it was cool.
Well, no, it was cool. It was, and like we talked about in a previous episode with Fuddy, who was, that's kind of what I was thinking. When you think of no cable, you know, he lives out in the rural Iowa or wherever. You know what I mean?
Like, he's in Wyoming.
Or Wyoming. Yeah. It's out there. It's past Chicago.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of what I think of. Not a city guy.
I see.
But I grew up in a pretty rural area, but we had cable. Like, we had cable early, I'm learning.
But did you also have over the air?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Because I've known of places where you
needed. Oh, they put the cable in because you couldn't get.
Right.
Well, we were pretty limited in over the air channels. Like, okay. We had, you know, a Johnstown channel, and you could get a Pittsburgh channels, but you had to have a pretty souped up antenna.
WGBH?
Maybe? But PGH?
PGH, is that what it was?
Pittsburgh, yeah, close. But anyway, MTV started in 1981. We didn't have it in our cable package until about 87, 86 or 87. So we had about 5 years there where I was kind of like, you know, kind of like you, Joella, where I would go to friends in Johnstown or these places, and I would see it. And it was pretty, as a music lover and a music fan, I mean, I was all about it. So when we finally got it, it was just sort of on.
Could they get you away from the TV?
No, I was a pretty big TV junkie, period.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was a TV kid.
Mm.
And my parents were actually TV people. Like, when I look back on it, my mom watched TV, you know, every night. And my dad watched the news, and he watched those certain shows. Like, the TV was just sort of on. Not during dinner. You know, they would do that whole thing. But then as soon as dinner was over, it was like the TV came on. It was on all night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, MTV was a big deal. And as a teenager, it was... What was interesting about it was that you had FM radio that was your primary gateway to popular music, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that was the gatekeeper of popular music. And then MTV comes along, and you have a single visual gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So the power that MTV had, particularly in the 1980s, and I would say argue into the early 90s, was huge.
I read somewhere, you might actually know if this is true, but I read somewhere that some of it started because they didn't know what to do with all the audition tapes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
oh.
I have no idea if that's true or if I'm starting another conspiracy, but...
clearly a conspiracy.
No, clearly.
I don't know. That's actually very interesting because, you know, videos as they became known in the MTV era... started to become like these mini movies.
Mm-hmm.
And movie directors, Duran Duran was big to start this trend, where they would get an actual movie director that would direct the videos. Well, the first videos that came out were videos that were pre-MTV. They were really just live video of the band, not necessarily in concert, but staged studio videos, which would make sense.
Yeah, they would have said...
like halo lighting.
Yeah, and the hazy.
And the different like cuts that fade into each other.
Well, I feel like it was an NPR thing, and they were saying they needed to know what to do with it, and they had a hole, and then it started taking off, and then I think what you said...
That absolutely
said
makes sense. Because if you think about it, the advent of really videotape in that format being used in production... In the 70s was when that transition happened, right? So everything was film prior to that, you know what I mean? And then you had video, which was much cheaper. So bands were doing that kind of thing. And MTV just exploded. But it was powerful. Like, you know, if a video was on MTV in heavy rotation, that song was going to sell.
You've made it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my lecture.
Can I just throw in that video really did kill the radio star? Sorry, moving on.
Well done. Well done. Joella, a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Fastest 25 minutes in podcasting.
Yeah.
It just goes right by. Thanks so much for being on the program.
That's got to be our tagline. Do you approve that as a tagline?
I approve that as a tagline.
Done.
Done.
Yeah.
The Candy Factory 555 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
Coworkinginlancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.